Scripture lesson this morning is from two places. First, we will read from 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. It's found on page 1128 in the Pew Bible in front of you if you'd like to follow along. 1 Corinthians chapter 1, verses 18 through 31. This is what Paul writes to the church. For the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. For it is written, I will destroy the wisdom of the wise, the intelligence of the intelligent I will frustrate. Where is the wise person? Where is the teacher of the law? Where is the philosopher of this age? Has not God made foolish the wisdom of the world? For since in the wisdom of God, the world through its wisdom did not know him, God was pleased through the foolishness of what was preached to save those who believe. Jews demand signs and Greeks look for wisdom, but we preach Christ crucified, a stumbling block to Jews and foolishness to Gentiles. But to those whom God has called, both Jews and Greeks, Christ the power of God and the wisdom of God. For the foolishness of God is wiser than human wisdom, and the weakness of God is stronger than human strength. Brothers and sisters, think of what you were when you were called. Not many of you were wise by human standards. Not many were influential. Not many were of noble birth, but God chose the foolish things of the world to shame the wise. God chose the weak things of the world to shame the strong. God chose the lowly things of this world and the despised things and the things that are not to nullify the things that are, so that no one may boast before him. It is because of him that you are in Christ Jesus, who has become for us wisdom from God. That is our righteousness, holiness, and redemption. Therefore, as it is written, let the one who boasts, boast in the Lord. Amen. Our second reading is from the Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. And for the Gospel reading, if you are able, would you please stand? Gospel of Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. This is the beginning part of Jesus' Sermon on the Mount. And obviously it's called Sermon on the Mount because he taught or he preached, gave this message on the mountain. So Matthew, chapter 5, verses 1 through 12. Now when Jesus saw the crowds, he went up on a mountainside and sat down. His disciples came to him, and he began to teach them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are those who mourn, for they will be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they will inherit the earth. Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they will be shown mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they will see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they will be called sons of God. Blessed are those who are persecuted because of righteousness, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are you when people insult you, persecute you, and falsely say all kinds of evil against you because of me. Rejoice and be glad, because great is your reward in heaven, for in the same way they persecuted the prophets who were before you. This is the gospel of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Please be seated. I'd like you to keep this story in your mind as we unpack what we heard in the scriptures. There was a Peanut comic strip in which Lucy asks Charlie Brown, if he has ever known anybody who was really happy. Before she can finish her sentence, Snoopy comes in dancing on his tippy toe into the frame, his nose high in the air, and dancing and bouncing his way across two frames of the cartoon strip. Finally, in the last frame, Lucy finishes her sentence saying, "Have you ever known anybody who was really happy and was still in their right mind?" Well, have you known anyone who's really happy and still in their right mind? How about you? Are you happy? Are you really happy? We live in a nation that is founded upon the pursuit of happiness. Happiness is very important for all of us. We all want to be happy. However, wanting to be happy is not uniquely American. Everybody in the world wants to be happy, regardless of who you are, where you live, regardless of your age, gender, race, ethnic background, culture. And for those who lived 2,000 years ago, during Jesus' time, happiness must have been important also. So Jesus addresses this issue. After the baptism, Jesus began his ministry teaching in the synagogues, preaching about the good news of the kingdom and healing all kinds of disease. And people started following him from all over, all throughout Israel, even beyond Jordan River. People started flocking to see Jesus, to hear his message. And so we begin our gospel reading. One thing I just want to want us to realize, notice, is that when Jesus went up on the mountainside, sat down to teach, we are told that Jesus sat down to teach, his disciples came to him, and he began to teach them. Jesus' teaching here was to the disciples, not just the 12, but all those who are committed to following his teaching. See, it's important for us to understand the Beatitude, with the part that we just read. Its intended audience is not everybody in the world. The intended audience was for the disciples, those who committed to following Jesus Christ. And what this teaching is about is that Jesus is laying out the expectation of how a person who is following in Jesus should live and conduct their life. So Jesus begins his sermon with, "Blessed are you." See, blessed means happy or fortunate. So Jesus says, happy are you. You will be happy if you are poor in spirit, if you are utterly dependent on God and not on yourself. That's where you find your happiness. He goes on to say, happy are you if you mourn, who recognize their need for forgiveness and present themselves to the one who is able to forgive. Then you are happy because you can receive the forgiveness that you are seeking. Jesus says, happy are you if you are meek, if you are truly humble and gentle, as the one who is gentle truly understand how insignificant they are, but they are still so loved by God. Happy are you who hunger and thirst for righteousness, have the spiritual appetite, continuing desire to be right before God. Happy are you who are merciful. For those who extend mercy to others, demonstrating God's mercy because God's mercy was given to you first, because you have received it first. You are happy if you have a pure heart, the heart that yearns for God wholeheartedly. You are happy if you're a peacemaker, to show others how to have inward peace with God and how to be the instrument of peace in the world. To have the inward peace, Jesus says, that's happiness. What do you think? What do you think about this Jesus' teaching? As I said before, this teaching is for all of us who are called Christians, who have committed to follow Jesus. What do you think about this teaching? If you ask me, this is a very hard teaching. All of the qualities of happiness that Jesus mentions here, the poor in spirit, those who mourn, the meek, these are not external qualities, but these are internal conditions that comes from an intimate relationship with God, that comes from deep faith, that is expressed outwardly in the way we live, in the way we relate with others, in the way we express our lives and our faith. What Jesus teaches here is a radical way of living. Because what Jesus is teaching, it goes against all the conventional way of the world, all the conventional knowledge, all the conventional way how we are taught how we live in this world. See, we live in a world where we believe in the survival of the fittest. So if you are strong, then you are obviously on top, that you're going to be the winner. If you have power, you could throw your power around, then you are successful. If you have a lot of money, if you have the position, then people will look up to you, and that's called success. That's the world we are part of. And we see that day in and day out. And so people strive to continue to climb that ladder, all the while stepping on someone else, because the only way to go up, the only way to make it up there, is by stepping on others. And what Jesus teaches is a radical way of living that is very different from the kind of world that we are part of. As I was sharing with Kira, with that Aesop's fable, the story, what Jesus is teaching us is the happiness that we experience. It doesn't come from outside. It doesn't come from having the control. It doesn't come from having all the power. It doesn't come from having all the stuff. What Jesus is showing us is that it comes from within, because God is with us, because we have faith in God, because God from within is shining out the warmth and the light that causes change in others. As Jesus was hanging on the cross, Jesus showed us what it means to be the poor in spirit, what it means to mourn, what it means to be meek, what it means to be a peacemaker. So I could hear you say, well, how can that be a happiness if you're hanging on the cross? Right? How can it be a happiness? How can you be happy if you're hanging on the cross in agony? I guess we have to spend some time defining, what does it mean to be happy? What does it mean to be blessed? What does it mean? Conventionally, we define happy if all goes well, that everything is in its place and there is no weight upon us, right? But that's not how Jesus defines happy. Jesus defines happiness, blessedness, when we have that relationship with God in our hearts, that no matter what goes around us, no matter what difficult situation we are in, that we experience God working with us, God using us, God using us as instrument to make a difference in the world. That's how Jesus is defining happiness. And that happiness is not free, but it comes with cost. It comes through great sacrifice. This is what Dietrich Bonhoeffer writes in his book, The Cost of Discipleship. He writes, having reached the end of the Beatitudes, we naturally ask if there is any place on this earth for the community which they describe. Clearly, there is one place and only one, and that is where the poorest, meekest, and most sorely tried of all men is to be found, on the cross at Golgotha. The community which is the subject of the Beatitude is the community of the crucified. With him, it has lost all. And with him, it has found all. When Jesus calls us to follow him, this is the life Jesus invites us to. Jesus himself lived it, showing us how so that we can experience the true happiness. And to this, we hear Paul in our 1 Corinthians reading says, the message of the cross is foolishness to those who are not believing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. My dear brothers and sisters, when we say we are Christians, it means something. It means that we are living our lives with different truth, with different standards, with different goals, with different purpose. And that is to be the one who is meek in this fierce world. Being humble and meek, that invites God into our lives so that we can live in this fierce world, not by our own strength, but by the strength that God gives. That we are poor in spirit, recognizing that by myself, there's nothing that I can offer this world. But in that poverty, we open our hearts for God to come in and fill us with the wealth of His peace, His love, His joy, so that we can share that. My prayer for you is that you be really, really happy and still be in your right mind as you live radically the life of the blessed, so that the kingdom of God is made real among you and the beauty and wholeness of Christ is revealed fully through your life. Amen.